Well, I've got Mark Nielsen on the phone. He is from themusic.com.au, and he's written a little article about it today, and I thought we'd call him up and discuss it. How are you going, Mark?
I'm good, Mick. How are you going?
Yeah, really good, thanks. For some reason, we're all being very nostalgic lately. I see a lot of articles about 1999 going around, about all that time in the end of the 20th century. What is it? What is it about us all going back to the 90s?
I don't know. Maybe people think it was, you know, a time before technology, like before social media took over. Maybe it was just a simpler time, you know. People just loved that time. For some reason, that stuck. The 90s stuck with a lot of people, like not only music, like you often hear of things like Friends being one of the most streamed shows ever, like, you know, Netflix fought tooth and nail to keep the rights for that. So
Buffy, yeah, I was a Buffy man. I love Buffy.
Ah, I love Buffy, yeah. Like, there's a lot of stuff that kind of happened in the 90s that have really stuck with some people for some reason. And, we continue to talk about it today.
I think you're right. And one of these things that happens to be coming up a lot here is Double J. Yeah, here at 2SER, we're community radio, but we probably have a lot of listeners who listened to Triple J 20 years ago. And back in 1998 or 1999, when the Hottest 100 was played, Pretty Fly for a White Guy from Offspring got number one. And I think it's always been a bone in contention with all Triple J listeners, and that going forward, they go, how could that get number one? Why did it get there? So here we go. The Double J people decided, oh, we're going to do a revote of this. And the results came out today, but not quite what they expected, I reckon.
No, I think they were hoping that someone else would knock it off, but it's just whether the joke backfired or something, and it was a deliberate campaign to do it, or people really do think that that was the top song of the year. I'm not sure quite what happened, but yeah, it's still number one in their eyes.
The funny thing is that I saw as well is that Offspring, Noodles from Offspring, actually came out and said, hey, look, we realize our song's probably been played to death, so why don't you vote for the Australian band instead? And they told the people to vote for Living End, Save the Day.
Which backfired again, because originally Save the Day was number 10.
That's right.
And didn't get a look in the recount.
It didn't get a look in. And in fact, there was only two songs from the original top 10 that made this new top 10. But all these tracks that got in there that I just didn't expect people to vote for. Things like Rob Zombie.
Yeah, like it's really strange that there's a lot of kind of new metal and industrial leanings, whether that's the fan base, is like they're quite reminiscing as well, because the late 90s was obviously a very strong period for that kind of music, and whether people just have a fondness for it and want to see it back to the fore again, I'm not sure, but yeah, Rob Zombie and Rage, I mean, their place is secured for, you know, songs like Killing in the Name and stuff like that, but yeah this was just a one-off song. I'm not quite sure why that would get a look in either.
But we're talking about Australian music not really getting a look in this revote, and I'm not sure if people don't quite reminisce about some of the songs in 98. Looking at some of the tracks that were there, you had obviously Jebediah was up there with Seven with Harpoon. What a great song that was. Custard, Girls Like That was number three back then. They've been dumped. Do you think back to that sort of time and go, Australian music really was sort of starting to come into its own?
It very much was so. Like, the top 10 at the time, you had Ben Lee, you had Custard, you had Regurgitator, Jebediah, Powderfinger, You Are My Living End.
Mostly Aussie.
Yeah, like, they're giants of the time. Like, you know, still today, like, if you look back at, you know, if you're writing something about the annals of Australian music, specifically alternative at the time, you'd include those names. So, yeah, it just seems strange that they're not present in the recount for the most part.
It's really quite strange. But then I got to think, and people say this about Pretty Fly for a White Guy. It's a song of the time. You know, it's pretty unique. It was pretty different for Offspring. And it's the sort of song that when you look at it like in paper, it's got all these little parts to it, like lots of little catchy riffs, little bits that it transitions to. And I read this thing about it the other day, about how it really is quite a well-written song. What would you say about that?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely catchy. Like, at the time, it was like one of the top 20 songs of the year, full stop. Like, you know, and this is against, you know, stuff like Goo Goo Dolls and Shania Twain and stuff that was, you know, quite big commercial stuff. So it's not a surprise that it did end up at number one. Like, it's probably one of the few tracks that was kind of big on the mainstream charts that would have had a look in at Triple J at the time.
That's right.
On the Hottest 100. But yeah, it's, you know, Offspring do know how to write a catchy song. Like, you know, a couple of years before that when Smash came out and everything, like, that showed that they have kind of the pop thing, the pop punk thing nailed, so they do know how to write a good song.
Well, that's true, that's true. Another band that knows how to write a good song came in number two. I don't know what the numbers were. Apparently 65,000 people voted.
Yeah, but I'm not quite sure what that is, like how, compared to how many voted first time around and everything, but that's still quite a fair lot of people want to have a second say.
I like how Double J actually said on their site there that their voting system probably left a fair bit to be desired, because I do know that people could vote multiple times if they just cleared their browser cache, and then you could just redo it over and over again. So I reckon some people just decided, oh, look, stuff this, offering, we're going to make them win.
Yeah.
But the second song, number two, was a song that I was hoping would get up. And it is, of course, the fantastic Regurgitator, which is a song that I still think stands the test of time. I reckon it's up there with one of the best Australia's produced.
Excellent. Well, it's off Unit, and that was a big album for them at the time. Like, the songs on that were great.
Yeah. And I think they had four songs from that album in this countdown as well, maybe three or four. But
yeah.
This song has always been that one that everyone associates with Gurge being one of their big ones. And I secretly think Double J hoped this would win.
Well, probably, because, yeah, I think they definitely wanted to get Offspring out. I'm sure they wanted someone else, but didn't quite get there in the end, unfortunately.
Yeah, no. Tism made number four, so I'm quite happy with that one too.
Yes.
Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. Going back 20 years, as much as we think we want to change the past, sometimes it was just meant to be like that, right?
It does.
Hey, Mark from The Music, thank you so much for chatting to us here at 2SER.
No worries, Mick. Thanks for having me.
Catch you next time.
Okay, see ya.